Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, July 8th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Harare City Council today started relocating street vendors to new sites following some resistance yesterday from the informal traders.
We are relocating the informal sector to designated sites where they should trade from, and we are freeing the pavements for the convenience of pedestrians, for the convenience of the business owners.
Some factories that were forced to shut down due to the harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe are now serving as churches.
The end of the day is for the government to make sure that there's food on the table, to make sure that there is clean water within the community.
President Robert Mugabe and his entourage arrived in New York today ahead of the United Nations International Ebola Recovery Conference on Friday.
And getting passports in Zimbabwe has become easy, unlike in the past.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
The Harare City Council today started relocating street vendors to new sites following some resistance yesterday from the informal traders who vowed to continue selling their wares in the Central Business District. Our correspondent Thomas Shiripasi has more details from Harare.
Council spokesperson Michael Chideme told Studio 7 that the local authority has officially started relocating informal traders to vending points that were established following a government directive for the council to clean up the city.
We are relocating the informal sector to designated sites where they should trade from, and we are freeing the pavements for the convenience of pedestrians. We are freeing shop fronts for the convenience of the business owners so that everybody goes to allocated spaces from where they can do their business. There's a lot of cooperation. What has been happening here has changed. We have made some progress.
Following the council's move, some vendors whose stores were destroyed by baton-wielding municipal police said they were not happy with the new vending sites, which they say are not yet ready for use. One of the affected traders, Martin Zivira, vowed to continue selling his wares in the Central Business District.
There's no work. What they expect us to do? There's confusion. You don't know who you're supposed to pay the money to. And besides, the major point is there's no market where they're taking us. People are here in town. They should provide us pieces to replace, to sell our ways here in town. Well, it will just go back to the cat and mouse situation that was there before. They will come and then we'll run away. But the minute they turn their back, we are putting back our ways here. We are not stealing, we are not robbing anyone. We just want to survive.
The situation turned nasty when some vendors who used to sell their wares just outside the council headquarters were told by the municipal police to relocate to a vegetable market at Copacabana bus terminus, where other vendors who operate from there refused to pave way for the group that had been authorized by the council officials to occupy the market stalls. The program's coordinator of the Zimbabwe Informal Sector Organization, Promise Mkwananzi, condemned the council's move to forcibly relocate the vendors to places that have no adequate facilities.
It is very regrettable that the city council would find it in their convenience to divide and rule the vendors who are desperately seeking avenues to eke out a living for their children. We condemn the divisionist tactics and the attempt to destabilize the vending markets in the city by the city council. We urge our vendors to remain put in place and to refuse to be divided by these malcontents.
Peter Jack, chief executive of the Unemployed Mobile Youth Foundation, another organization that represents the interests of street traders, told Studio 7 that the council's move to relocate the vendors was not supported by a council resolution and therefore it is illegal.
The officials are the ones who are putting names on those places. The actual places, at the moment, we don't know which places are legal and not legal. I actually believe whoever is ordering people to be removed from the streets, it's illegal.
Mkwananzi noted that his organization is contemplating taking the matter to the courts in an attempt to stop the evictions.
The chance of approaching the courts are very high. We are consulting with our legal experts.
Keith Charumbira, chairperson of the Neander Vendors Association, encouraged government and municipal authorities to engage all vendors' representative organizations in dialogue.
Tell me yourself, the city must bring up some funds for conscientization in terms of health, hygiene for the vendors, so as to enhance the capacity and all the process to train vendors into business, you know. So these are the good things that the city must be found doing rather than to be found fighting and be at loggerheads with the vendors.
Studio 7 failed to reach local government minister Xavier Kasukwere, who told the state broadcaster last night that city fathers should move with speed to remove vendors from the streets or risk losing their jobs. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, the MDCT party has condemned the move by the government to force councils to evict vendors from the city streets, especially in Harare, where the municipal police, assisted with the Zimbabwe Republic Police, forcibly removed vendors from the central business district. Spokesman Obet Gutu told Studio 7 they do not blame the MDCT-run councils for implementing this directive, but the ZANU-PF-led government for failing to provide 2 million jobs it promised in the run-up to the 2013 general elections.
We have always been on record to say that the issue of vendors should be handled delicately and should also be handled in accordance with the laws of the country, in particular in accordance with the Constitution of Zimbabwe, as read in conjunction with the Urban Councils Act. In other words, the government of Zimbabwe should look into the reasons why there is so much vending on the streets of not only Harare, but all the cities and towns of the country. They should know that people are vending because there are no jobs. So what the Robert Mugabe regime should do is to ensure that the 2.2 million jobs that they promised the people of Zimbabwe in their so-called Zuma City Policy Blueprint should be created. The moment that there are jobs in the formal sector, you notice that very few people, if any, would resort to vending. So instead of trying to just cure the symptoms of the disease, they must go and find out what is the real cause of the disease. The real cause of the disease is a lack of political legitimacy, corruption, and misgovernance.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu in Harare with Studio 7. Representatives of various civic organizations, which are stakeholders in the informal sector, held an urgent meeting in Harare today, where they formed a consortium that is expected to engage in various activities in protest of the eviction of illegal vendors from the streets. Chitungwiza Residence Trust Director Marvelous Kumalo, who attended the meeting, tells reporter Standikile Mtlanga the consortium will stage demonstrations and court challenges against the government.
The meeting was specifically on the informal traders, the informal sector in Zimbabwe, and its contribution to the economy, and how the problems that are bedeviling the sector can be solved in a manner that clearly is a win-win situation for all the stakeholders, government, the traders themselves, and the country at large.
What resolutions were taken in this meeting?
The first resolution that came out is that different representative organizations of the informal sector are going to start working together in terms of advocacy and in terms of other actions. For instance, they will engage in peaceful protests or demonstrations to force government to stop the unlawful evictions and transferring them to the so-called designated places where there are no facilities, such as ablution facilities and a ready market. This meeting was initially scheduled for the 14th of this month, and it was brought forward so as to look into the emergencies that are obtaining in the city in terms of informal sector.
That was Marvelous Kumalo, Chitungwiza Residence Trust Director, on the line from Harare with Studio 7 Sister Ndigile Mhlanga.
Some factories that were forced to shut down due to the harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe are now serving as churches. MDCT MP Tapiwa Mashakada made this claim during a parliamentary debate on the state of the economy today. Mashakada took aim at the ZANU-PF government for failing to deliver on its promises to create 2 million jobs, adding many people were now living on $1 a week. But ZANU-PF lawmakers defended their record, saying the economy was suffering because of Western sanctions. MDCT legislator Dorcas Sibanda tells us more about the motion debate.
We were discussing the meltdown of our economy. We were looking at issues which are affecting people directly. Well, we were saying at the end of the day, it's the government's prerogative to make sure that there's food on the table, to make sure that there is energy within the community in terms of life, to make sure that there is water, clean water within the community, to make sure that there is a domestic product, farms are producing enough in such a way that they will be able to sell and bring back money into the country. And we were also arguing that when ZANU-PF took power, they promised the people that within 100 days, they would have created 2 million jobs. So we were saying, is the 2 million jobs which you promised the people, were you talking about the 2 million vendors which are all over town?
And what were ZANU-PF legislators saying about this issue?
You see, ZANU-PF legislators will always talk about sanctions. Because already we know as other parliamentarians, those are our colleagues, they are humans, they are trusted. They will come to parliament and sing about sanctions.
Dorcas Sibanda is an MDCT legislator. She was speaking on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo from Harare.
President Robert Mugabe and his entourage arrived in New York today ahead of the United Nations International Ebola Recovery Conference on Friday. Mr. Mugabe, who chairs both the African Union and Southern African Development Community, is accompanied by First Lady Grace Mugabe, Health Minister Deputy Parrenyatwa, Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegwi, and Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa. Sources at the Zimbabwe Mission in New York confirmed that Mr. Mugabe and his delegation have arrived. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced on United Nations Radio last month that he will convene the conference to help mobilize resources.
On July 10th, I will convene an International Ebola Recovery Conference. It will address these issues and help mobilize the resources needed to start early recovery. We must also translate lessons learned from this Ebola outbreak into stronger national and international systems to prevent and respond to health crises. That is why I have commissioned an independent high-level panel on the global response to health crises led by President Kikwete of Tanzania. My appeal to you is clear. We are in the last mile of the response, but the job is not done. We need you to persist in supporting the region in getting to a resilient zero cases and then beginning to recover.
The epidemic has affected more than 27,000 people, killing over 11,000, mostly in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone. United Nations Special Envoy on Ebola, Dr. David Nabarro, said progress has been made in fighting Ebola, but warned against complacency.
The World Health Organization estimates that there is a 50% chance that the disease will recur and needs to be controlled in the coming 12 months. Zimbabwe did not record a single case of Ebola. But the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association is warning that the health delivery system in the country is deteriorating owing to government lacks in controlling the medical aid society and alleged corruption at the Health Services Board. The doctors cite the Auditor General's report, which alleged that resources were being abused. The association's president, Fortune Nyamande, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that there is need for government to be firm with medical aid societies such as PISMAS and CIMAS that he charges are short-changing patients.
These medical aids are ripping Zimbabweans out of their hard-earned money We are also seeing that Zimbabweans are failing now to get urgent medical services as a result of the failure of the medical aid to conform to the standards, to conform to the regulations. And more appalling and more of concern to us as the Zimbabwe Doctors Association, we've seen that these medical aids, they've even now started to employ doctors. So they are now opening their clinics. And by virtue of them being in business, they advertise their businesses. Then a doctor, a general practitioner, by being someone who subscribes to the Hippocratic Oath and by also being regulated by the medical council, is not allowed to advertise his services. So CMAS and PSMAS, they are even pushing out of practice the few remaining private doctors in Zimbabwe. It is unfair competition whereby we are offering the same services, but we are not allowed to advertise. Then there is also unfair action on part of the medical aid society when they make us doctors, when they make general practitioners, see patients in their surgeries, and then they do not pay the doctors for the work that they've done to see patients which belong to the medical aid society.
You also talked about the junior doctors' outstanding issues. What is concerning you here?
We agreed that in the short term, we should initiate discussions and we should be seeing the incremental response from government to say maybe by this time, which is almost 8 months after that strike, probably could have solved the issue of the duty-free facilities. Then maybe in the next 2 to 3 months, we then look at the housing allowance, and in the next few months, we then look at the basic salary. But there will not be any movement. We feel betrayed.
That was President of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Fortune Nyamande, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
At the same time, civic society organizations from some 25 countries are in Entebbe, Uganda, for a preparatory meeting ahead of the United Nations 3rd Annual International Conference on Finance for Development to be held in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, next week. Heads of state and government are expected to attend the Conference on Finance for Development, where they will map out strategies for developing Africa. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Mishek Gondo of the National Association of Youth Organizations, a civil society organization representing Zimbabwe. Gondo explains the role of civil society in the coming conference.
And as a civil society, we are saying we've got a role to complement our governments and also to play the monitoring role as far as the outcomes of Addis Ababa is concerned.
And can you explain what the Finance for Development Conference is?
The conference is a United Nations conference. The agenda being to set targets on global finance and also the discussion around post 2015 development agenda. You find out that one of the key major issues that will be looked at this conference is to review the implementation of Monterrey Consensus and the Doha Declaration of Development, and also to address new challenges in mobilizing effective use of finance resources for sustainable development.
And looking at Zimbabwe, what have been some of the challenges in having sustainable finance for development projects?
We have seen that Zimbabwe is languishing in a very huge debt, approximately more than $9 billion in terms of external debt. We have also, in terms of accumulation of domestic debt, we have other issues that also affect Zimbabwe, the issue of what's been sidelined with international community. So what we are saying in terms of this conference for the countries, we really need, as an African CSOs, we are also lobbying for the cancellation of debts so that our countries will be able to resuscitate their economies. But the issue of governance is also coming out, is very important.
That was Mishek Gondo, director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Entebbe, Uganda.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a closer look at the just-ended Women of Dominion International Conference with Praxidis Jeremiah.
And do you know that it's now easy to get a passport in Zimbabwe?
I went to apply for my passport a week ago. I was really impressed, I should say, because I remember 10 years ago when I applied for my first passport, the experience was hectic. I had to travel to Mutare, where I was told that there were no long queues. And in Harare, that time, people were actually sleeping in queues.
Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Pope Francis continues his tour of South America and Bolivia Wednesday after urging the faithful to open their arms to the poor and preserve the environment for future generations during a pair of speeches in Ecuador.
Debt-wrecked Greece asked its European neighbors for a new three-year bailout today, pledging to immediately implement tax and pension reforms.
South Sudan's rebel leader says the country's civil war will continue as long as President Salva Kiir remains in power.
Chinese stocks continued to tumble Wednesday, prompting Beijing to warn of a panic sentiment by investors and unveil a series of desperate new measures to stop the three-week slide.
And Iran and major international powers continue nuclear negotiations in Vienna on Wednesday, after blowing through a second self-imposed deadline.
Some Zimbabweans had an opportunity to worship or share their present and past experiences and network at the just-ended Women of Dominion International Conference held in Cincinnati, Ohio, USA. Studio 7's Praxedis Jeremiah was there and filed the following report.
Just hearing the singing, praying, and joyful chants in Shona Ndebele, one could have easily thought this was a common church service somewhere in Zimbabwe. The venue was in America, where more than 200 Zimbabweans, mostly women, gathered for the fourth annual conference of the Women of Dominion. For many Zimbabweans in the United States, such occasions are only associated with funerals and weddings. Zimbabweans came from all over the United States for the three-day conference, bringing with them open hearts and burdens to unload, but also to uplift their colleagues. Keynote speaker Pastor Catherine Marurama, who lives in Dallas, Texas, drew cheers and applause for her uplifting testimony and confession for her weaknesses.
I'm talking about my own weaknesses, not somebody's. That the Holy Spirit was telling me about. Gossiping. I wasn't gossiping with congregants. No, I'm talking about gossiping amongst the pastors, lying to each other that we're only doing the work of God, and yet we're mere gossiping, but at a certain level which is sinning.
There were many such testimonies, with participants praising God for His mercy. The conference theme, Ebenezer, uplifted their spirits. Many participants who traveled to Ohio came by bus, cars, and flights with friends and some with their families, including children and husbands. One of them was Priscilla Bushu, who said the trip was worth it because of the spiritual fulfillment she received.
It's an empowering conference. For those who didn't attend the conference, I would say, please, if it's an issue of money, start saving from January. Don't miss out 2016.
A senior citizen, Gogo Masakadza, who came with her daughter, said she was pleased and relieved to know that such gatherings took place in the United States. Gogo Masakadza said she has been worried about her daughter's spiritual growth and attachment to the Zimbabwean community. Now, her fears are gone.
I was so happy to be here. What really touched me is the fact that pastors were really hitting home, advising our children in the diaspora not to forget where they come from, not to forget to look after their elderly parents like me.
Some participants like N. Towozani Ncube, a successful entrepreneur who is into real estate, transport and other businesses, came from Zimbabwe. The businesswoman said she attended the event in order to reconnect with her colleagues in the diaspora, where she once lived before going back to Zimbabwe.
When you come over here, it's like you really want to connect. Labanye abantu have left home. You want to see how they are doing in the diaspora. It's nice to come and witness how God is still using them.
Zimbabweans in the diaspora say such gatherings provide healing while giving them a way to reconnect with their roots, eat traditional food, sing popular traditional hymns, and reflect on the life they left back home while moving forward in the diaspora. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Praxedes Jeremiah.
At a time when service delivery in most government institutions is at an all-time low, the Registrar General's Office is receiving rave reviews from most media organizations, with passport applicants saying they are impressed about the services being offered by this office. Harare resident Grace Chirumanzi says she was pleasantly surprised at the professional service she received when she went to apply for a passport a week ago. Chirumanzi tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Wuye the situation at the office is completely different from what it has been.
I went to apply for my passport a week ago. I was really impressed, I should say, because I remember 10 years ago when I applied for my first passport, the experience was hectic. I had to travel to Mutare, where I was told that there were no long queues. And in Harare at that time, people were actually sleeping in queues or maybe spending a night in queues so that they could be served early the next day. And remember also last year that I applied for my kids' passport, I had to travel to Bindura to get a passport because there were no long queues. And in Harare, it was really hectic, a long winding queues and stuff like that. But last week when I applied for my passport, my second passport, the experience there was really great. The services from the workers there, they were all smiles, helping women and children in the queues. Even all the citizens were actually being served quickly. And I could see that people were really motivated to do their job. It was really fast.
What was the process like for you?
As soon as we had the requirements, it was not going to take long to move from one office to the other. And I remember they actually introduced a system whereby you don't have to come with your passport photos. There's machines there that can take the passport photos. They actually separate those with passport photos and those without. And I remember I had my passport photos ready, so it was quicker for me because they actually took me to another office. And within an hour, I was served, and I was actually told that within 6 weeks, I was going to collect my passport. They were going to send a message that it was all ready for collection.
That was Harare resident Grace Chirumanzi speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Wuye from Harare.
Please stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the forced evictions of vendors from city centers in Zimbabwe.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Now a quick recap of today's top stories.
The Harare City Council today started relocating street vendors to new sites following some resistance yesterday from the informal traders.
Some factories that were forced to shut down due to the harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe are now reported to be serving as churches.
And President Robert Mugabe and his entourage arrived in New York today ahead of the United Nations International Ebola Recovery Conference on Friday.
That's all, folks. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.